WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump today announced the beginning of negotiations between Russia and Ukraine to end the war. This afternoon in the Oval Office, the president said he had spoken on the phone today with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
I think we're on the way to getting peace. I think President Putin wants peace and President Zelensky wants peace.
President Trump said there are no preconditions to starting negotiations, and he believes Ukraine will regain some of the territory taken by Russia. Here at home, President Trump says he's ready to close down the Department of Education.
Oh, I'd like it to be closed immediately. Look, the Department of Education's a big con job.
U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announcing legal action against New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York Attorney General Letitia James, saying that the state's sanctuary policies do not comply with federal immigration law. Two naval aviators are doing well after their F-18 variant crashed in the waters off San Diego today. This is ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The city of Green Bay and C. Rice have devised a plan to move the massive coal piles on Mason Street to the former J.P. Pulliam Generation Station, freeing up the waterfront property for redevelopment for commercial, restaurant, and other downtown-friendly development. While these two entities agree, everything hinges on whether Brown County and C. Rice can come together on a use for the Pulliam plant site. The city's redevelopment authority recommends that the Common Council approve the memo of understanding with C. Rice at its March 4th meeting. A Wisconsin congressman proposes a bill that would ban federal government contracts for special government employees, similar to the bans for members of Congress and other federal employees. Second District Representative Mark Pocan plans to introduce the Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy Act, or the Elon Musk Act. Musk heads the Trump administration's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, which looks to cut waste in government spending. Pocan says the text of his planned legislation will be forthcoming. The race for the state Supreme Court is getting expensive. You've probably heard or seen ads supporting either Dane County Judge Susan Crawford or Waukesha County Judge and former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel. January's campaign finance reports show the Crawford campaign raised $2.8 million and Schimmel's $2 million. Supreme Court elections are officially nonpartisan, but in this race, Schimmel is backed by Republicans and conservative groups, while Crawford has the support of liberals and Democrats. The winner of the April 1st election will serve a 10-year term. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
Marquette gets the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles got a win at home, 68-58 over DePaul. Cam Jones, 19 points in the game, moved him to the number three all-time leading scorer in Marquette history. Stevie Mitchell was 17 for the Golden Eagles and 9 assists on what was the game plan for the first half.
We knew they were going to go zone because they did that last time, so we prepared a lot for that zone. And, you know, as the game went on, just sticking with what we were doing, I think in the first half we were driving it hard, but we were missing some shots. They have good players. They're contesting it. So I think we just were able to stick with what we were doing, even though the results necessarily weren't what we wanted in terms of finishing or making shots. And I just think that's a testament to, you know, our trust in each other, our trust in, you know, our coaches, and, you know, our coaches trusting us.
Marquette is now off until next Tuesday when they host Seton Hall. NBA, it's the Bucks and the Timberwolves tonight in Minnesota, their last game heading into the All-Star break. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A winter weather advisory is in effect for snow, heavy at times, laying down a good 1 to 3 inches throughout the day, with an additional 1 to 3 possible at night. This puts storm totals at about 3 to 5 inches. And it'll become breezy tonight, blowing and drifting some of that fresh snow around. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, I think everybody's been there because he was sitting there for the longest time. So I just gave him a little beep. And it was green.
Yeah.
I could see he was vaping. It was meant on his vaping thing. And then all of a sudden he rolls his window and gives me the bird. So I'm trying to get his attention. I can see that I'm giving him the finger too, but I couldn't get my window down.
And you wanted to make sure he could see it.
I was waving to him like, hey. Yeah, exactly.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we're live in Oshkosh with City Council person Chris Olson. Karen Schneider joins us from the Oshkosh Herald and Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in. You can be a big part. Hit us up on the lines, talk or text 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board for you today. Jazzed as hell. Co-host for the day, Matt Rothschild, our friend in Madison. And we know there's snow out there, folks, so we want you to listen. We want you to drive safe. Get there in time. Don't die on the roads. There's some terrible accidents going on out there, folks. So please, please. Be careful. 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild, I want to talk a little bit about the money in politics, or at least the money in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Your old outfit, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, tracking some of the money. I saw some reporting at the Urban Milwaukee. Susan Crawford, the Dane County liberal judge, brought in about $7.7 million since announcing her campaign last year. Schimmel's campaign has reported about $5 million in donations. Roughly 50 days to go to the April 1st election, man. It's right around the corner. And all indications are, according to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, that this election is going to cost more. It will surpass the money spent in the Proto Sayowitz Dan Kelly election not so long ago, a couple of years ago, man.
Yeah, in that election, there was $51 million spent in that race, which just shattered the old record. I think it was roughly twice what the previous record was. And this one, again, may shatter it, even though the numbers aren't close right now. But look, we've got a serious problem about money in politics in our country and in our state. In our country, because of the Citizens United decision in 2010 that said corporations are persons and money is speech, and outside groups can spend unlimited amounts of money so long as they're not coordinating with the candidate, technically. And there's some other U.S. Supreme Court decisions prior to that that have been awful and subsequent to that. And then here in Wisconsin, let me just give a quick picture. You know, in 2011, there was a law on the books right before Walker got in 2010, that is, that would give us public financing, that gave us public financing for Supreme Court races here in Wisconsin. One of the first things Walker did was throw that out the window. And then in 2015, Walker totally rewrote with the Republicans in their gerrymandered majority in the Capitol, rewrote our campaign finance law to give the rich more ability to dominate the system. The limit you could give to a Supreme Court justice used to be $10,000, which I thought was way too high right there. Who's got a spare $10,000? Right. Now it's a spare $20,000. But even worse than that, they tore down the limit about what rich people could give to the political parties and to outside groups. Now there's no limit on that. No limit whatsoever. The sky's the limit. So you could give, I mean, Elon Musk is talking about entering this race with his wallet. He could give the Republican Party of Wisconsin $100 million or $200 million, which is couch change to him. And then the Republican Party of Wisconsin could turn around and give that money over to Schimmel, because what the 2015 rewrite also said was that parties and candidate committees can swap their money around in a little shell game. And so really, it's the wild, wild west here in Wisconsin. There is absolutely no limit on what a rich person can give to try to tell us who should actually be our elected officials. And that's ridiculous. There used to be a $10,000 limit on what anyone could give to a political party or to a candidate. And once you'd given the $10,000, you were done. But the U.S. Supreme Court threw that out in another decision, those limits on individual aggregate donations. But there was nothing that said the Republicans and Walker couldn't have imposed a limit on what you could give to a political party. You know, they could have said, well, if you want to double the limit to $20,000, you know, go do that. Nothing more than $20,000 for the Republican Party. And they didn't need to do the shell game where you could just transfer the money from your rich person. You know, if you're a billionaire like Elon Musk and the limit is $20,000 to Schimmel, yeah, you might give $20,000 to Schimmel, but it's much better to give $20 million to the Republican Party of Wisconsin and then have them give the $20 million over to Schimmel from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. So, you know, I think the Democrats and even Ben Wickler, I know no one wants to unilaterally disarm in an election. You don't want to, you know, be the Boy Scout who's not asking for the big money from the big money folks. But I think it's a losing game for Democrats. There are more wealthy right wingers out there, and Elon Musk just personifies them. And I think even though Protasiewicz outraised Dan Kelly last time, and Crawford's a little bit ahead right now, at the end of the day, I think Crawford may get swamped by Musk and Musk's money and some of the other right-wing billionaires who may enter.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. He is co-hosting Forte. Jess P.S. is on the board. You can join as well, 855-752-4842. Matt, we talked with Nick Ramos over the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign when they came out with their ethics complaint against Judge Schimmel when he was caught on a recording from last summer, I believe, joking multiple times in multiple recordings about how his knee pads were wearing out. He had to go to Menards to go and buy new knee pads because he was begging so much money. He's begging, he's working, get some money, gotta get the money in. And then he also, you know, edified them, as you just did to our audience, Matt, about how it really works. You can give, you know, $20,000, but if you want to give more, you can give it to the party. And then the party can do what they want with it, but, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, they'll give it in support of, presumably, in this case, Mr. Brad Schimmel. So, now, that do you find validity in the ethics complaint based on the very specific audio recording of the man saying himself he was begging for money?
Yeah, and he was, you know, suggesting coordination, too. I mean, you shouldn't be able to coordinate like that. You shouldn't tell your big donor, like Walker did, which got Walker in trouble, you know, give it to Wisconsin Club for Growth and I'll have Wisconsin Club for Growth and, you know, give it to the candidate or spend money the way I want them to spend the money. But, you know, that's what it's come down to here. It's almost impossible to break the law in Wisconsin because they, you know, the definition of coordination is just so vague. You can drive a truck through the loopholes there. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm glad that Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and Nick Ramos is doing a terrific job over there, filed that ethics complaint. But I'm not sure it's going to go anywhere. And the larger thing is we need campaign finance reform nationally, and we need it here in Wisconsin. And if the Democrats get control of the Capitol here in Madison next year, and the Democrats still have the governor's chair, I hope they will revisit this campaign finance issue and not content themselves on the fact that, you know, Ben Wickler's a great fundraiser and, you know, think that forever and a day he or whoever's head of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin will be able to outrage the Republicans. That ain't going to happen. And fundamentally, it's just wrong anyway. I mean, we all should have an equal voice in our democracy. We all should have an equal tug on the rope of democracy, and we don't. I mean, everybody knows who's listening right now that the super rich have much more of a say over who gets elected and what laws are passed and what policies are pursued than you and I do.
Sure, Matt. And I want to get to what does campaign finance reform look like. But the rich still get one vote. Elon Musk gets one vote, right? Diane Hendricks gets one vote. The U-Lions get two votes. You know, so isn't that, I mean, I'm speaking, you know, as a devil's advocate here, as isn't that the speech you're talking about? Isn't that the one input? That's the big equalizer is our vote.
It is, and it's the one day we have the same amount of power as the Elines and Diane Hendricks and Elon Musk and George Soros, for those right-wingers who are out there, or Pritzker, for that matter.
Right.
There's big money on both sides, and I think big money in politics is evil when it, no matter what side it comes from. But yes, the way to counteract big money is to get people power at the voting booth and in the streets, and we need to do more of that here, over these next several months for this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and also just to defy the runaway authoritarianism that we're facing from Trump.
The many over the money. Matt, but obviously, even if you accept the premise that we are currently operating under, that money is free speech and corporations are people, what do they say? I'll believe a corporation is a person when Texas executes one. But speech, if money is speech, speech can be regulated. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, right? People can be regulated. They can't commit murder. No. I'm not saying that corporations are people, but even if you accept the premise, isn't there still an ability, a way to regulate that?
Well, there should be, and I think a decent U.S. Supreme Court down the road, and I hope we get one sometime, will look at the Citizens United decision, this dissent by Justice John Paul Stevens in that case, who talked about the fact that, yes, we can limit speech in some ways. And yes, other people's rights to freedom of speech are being drowned out by the big money. So there are competing claims on the First Amendment issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are ways to get around this if people would look at that dissent, as I'm sure some future justices will. But in the meantime, we're stuck here in Wisconsin with this terrible. They even took away the preamble that said disclosure is great for the people and excess money is bad for our system. They took all that lofty rhetoric out of the law, too. They just didn't want to have any. Robin Voss didn't believe a word of that.
But and people should be concerned about that, because obviously, I can't go to Pocket and put in out millions of dollars worth of ads, ripping or promoting a particular candidate. I don't have the resources to do that. But, if a bunch of individuals, pool their sources, they could do that. Can't they?
Well, we're not going to be able to compete with the big money. What we need to do is talk to our friends, not to raise money from our friends, but get our friends out to vote, get their kids in the basement out to vote. Get your grandparents out to vote. We all need to, make sure that we can do whatever we can to stop this problem of autocracy, plutocracy, authoritarianism, fascism, call it what you want. The way we do that is make sure we get out to vote. And our first chance to register our disgust at Trump and this right-wing downhill slide we're rapidly descending on is to go out and vote in this Wisconsin Supreme Court race this April. And vote for Susan Crawford and just make, make a stand right now saying we've had enough.
We've had enough. We played a little Senator Sanders yesterday. Love me some Bernie going too. After the oligarchy, man. And I think you're right. And while we certainly would, love the money being spent on the causes and things and candidates that we care about, doesn't make it any more right than when the conservatives or the megas do it. So, I wonder how we frame that. How do we convince people that this is a big problem? I think it is. You think it is, Jess. I think you think money in politics. We talk about it. We hear about it all the time. Everyone, lots of folks. I don't want anybody that says, yes, we want more money in politics other than the oligarchs and perhaps a very few that they are in bed with. Most people, in my understanding, think this is something that should be rectified. But who is speaking for the Democratic Party right now? We got a new DNC chair. Is that the person or is it a political leader? Come back with us. Your calls are next. 855-752-4842. Not to put too fine a bun on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little
birdhouse in your soul. Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The New Hampshire legislature has proposed various schemes over the last decade to keep liberal-leaning college students living in the state from voting in elections. Most have failed, but no fewer than three voter suppression bills are before the legislature this year. A 2020 New Hampshire Supreme Court decision overturned a previous law, SB 3, and preserved the current rules allowing college students to use their dormitory or off-campus address as their legal domicile for voting purposes. As of last November, an official student ID could still be used as identification. That could change with HB 323, which eliminates school-issued identifications as acceptable means for ID for voting. SB 223 has been tried before. It allows any student eligible to vote in New Hampshire to qualify for in-state tuition at any state university system campus, but also eliminates college-issued IDs as a form of identification. HB 289 challenges the definition of domicile again. Previous bills tried to outlaw dormitories as acceptable domicile, require a car registration, or to have a New Hampshire driver's license. HB 289's latest tactic prohibits domicile status for anyone who is legally a dependent at an address outside the state. We've linked to local reporting and the text of the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can be a part, just be us on the board. Matt Rothschild joining me today as well. A couple of topics, I guess, here as we continue on this conversation about the money in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And well, that brings us to, of course, the billionaire class, the oligarchs, as Bernie Sanders, a senator from Vermont, has talked about quite often. And then... Who's speaking for the Democrats right now? We just, you know, Ben Wickler did not win, unfortunately, for the DNC, but, you know, pretty good for Wisconsin. We like ourselves some Ben Wickler. But the cat from Minnesota, he won. And my question is he the voice now, Matt? I mean, who, if you were looking for, I don't know, motivation, you know, someone to look up to, someone to guide us through the wilderness here. Who is it on the Dem side right now in your mind, Matt?
Well, that's the question. I mean, what's the message and who's the messenger? I mean, the message has got to be, we got a government, you know, by the billionaires, of the billionaires, for the billionaires. That should be the message. And the Democratic Party is for the people, not for the billionaires. And yet, we have the Democratic Party establishment still, sucking up to the billionaires. You mentioned the new DNC head, Ken Martin. You know, he was quoted in The Nation as saying, you know, there are a lot of good billionaires out there that have been with the Democrats who share our values and will take their money, but we're not taking money from those bad billionaires. Well, it's not really a winning message. And think back to the DNC convention. Bernie gave a great speech, and who came up next? Pritzker. And Pritzker said, I'm a real billionaire compared to Trump, claiming that Trump wasn't an actual billionaire. That's not the argument I want to have. You know, that's not the Democratic Party I want to have. That's not the representative of the Democratic Party I want to have. So in answer to your question, you know, Bernie Sanders, he's not even a Democrat. He's been the one who's been most outspoken. AOC is the second person. I guess she's the only real Democrat with the clearest message here. But what I want to know is, you know, where's Kamala Harris? Where's Pete Buttigieg? You know, where's Governor Whitmer? Where's Governor Newsom? I haven't heard peep from those people about this takeover of our government. I haven't seen leadership from them at this really crucial crisis moment of our democracy. And why not? Where are you?
That's a great point. No, certainly Newsom with the fires, you know, he was out in front on that and taking some bullets from this administration in that regard. But yeah, where's Big Gretch been? You know, where's Pete? Mayor Pete? Is he running for office now? And maybe they're out there but it's not boiling to the top because there's too much noise. And maybe that's one of the other problems that we have with the way that this current administration is fire hosing all this information and all these actions is that, you know, those folks that are articulating that do have something to say, it's not getting out there. It's not getting through the noise.
No, I mean, where is the opposition party? I mean, Robert Reich is great. You know, Heather Cox Richardson is great. Rachel Maddow's great. But, you know, of the elected officials, the people who want to lead the Democratic Party, and I think especially Kamala Harris, who I have a lot of respect for, I think she worked her tail off. She did great in the debate, and she deserved to win. But I want her to speak, even if she's not going to run for president next time, even if she's not going to run for governor of California, even if she wants to retire. You know, she was the standard bearer for the Democrats. I want to hear her, you know, almost every day denouncing these moves by Donald Trump. Where's Barack Obama, for God's sake?
Yeah, right. I mean, good point. Again, not a politician, but still a leader. He was out there during the election. You know, that was and Michelle as well. But it seems lacking. You know, it seems like there's a gap there somewhere in the leadership, and hopefully someone will rise to the top. I think Hakeem Jeffries. You know, and I think the messaging, the point of it all too, is not just anti-billionaire. It's like, what are the billionaires doing that's going to affect you personally? You know, these actions right. that they are taking. If you're going to cut, you know, Medicare and Medicaid, if these are on the chopping block, and I just saw a Newsweek piece today. The Republicans are going to ask for what? Like a $4 trillion debt ceiling hike so they can afford their tax cuts. It's going to cost like $4.5 trillion. Oh, yeah.
And those tax cuts are going mostly to the rich.
Mostly to the rich.
And this is the same party that said we're looking to cut $3 trillion from spending.
Yeah, they got to do that so they can give their buddies $4 trillion back.
That's right. Newsweek reporting from earlier today: Republicans reveal Trump tax cut plan will cost $4.5 trillion. $4.5 trillion. You know, Doge is all worried about the expense side. Maybe they should focus on the revenue side. But that would require them to look in the mirror, Mr. Elon Musk, who has no problem taking that government money when it goes to his projects. That's fine. That's the good, efficient spending, apparently. Although I did see a headline that those Cybertrucks are more dangerous than Ford Pintos. I haven't dug into it, so I don't know the statistics on it, but damn. That's
well, he doesn't want regulation thing. On those cars. That's why.
No, that's like the whole point, man. I mean, as consumers, we want that, man. I want us, as we the people, as our government, to ensure that the products that we buy and the business that we engage in is that they can, there's going to be guardrails to protect us from fraudsters and protect our environment, protect the workers. That is the point for the general welfare and promotion of the people. We the people, Matt, that is the point. Are there, in your mind, is there such a thing as a good billionaire?
Well, I don't think there should be billionaires, which is to say, I think they should be taxed when they get to $999,999. They got plenty of money at that point. They're not going to suffer. Their kids aren't going to suffer. Their grandkids aren't going to suffer. We need to fund our government, and let's tax the hell out of them once they get to that point. That's what Bernie was proposing when he was talking about we don't want any billionaires. Or, take the senator from Massachusetts who proposed a wealth tax. You know, let's have a wealth tax. But you're not going to get at that out of Musk and Trump. Man, they want to get rid of the estate tax totally so these super rich people can give absolutely every drop of their wealth to their kids who haven't worked a day in their lives.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. We got Jess P.S. on the board. We got you folks on the lines. We'll get to you next as well. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Good billionaires, bad billionaires. Is there such a thing? I mean, aren't they just hoarders at the end of the day? You know, if they didn't have the money, there'd be newspapers. You'd have to stack floor to ceiling. You'd have a path to get through the living room in their apartment. It's just hoarding, man. And you can't just take it all and give it all away for a little bit more. Come back with us. We'll take your calls. 855-75-CIVIC. Also, don't forget the end of the show. Our last segment, tell us something good. We want to hear something good. Put a smile on our face at the end of the day. Drive safe out there, folks. Join us. 855-75-CIVIC.
This is the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. State Republicans are proposing legislation they say would add more transparency to the school referendum process. One bill would require local governments and school boards to provide information about the property tax difference on a median value home on the ballot with the referendum question. Another would prevent school districts from losing state funding if a nearby district passes a referendum. School ballot referendums have become increasingly common in recent years, with more than 200 proposed in the 2024 elections. The first 4 days of the sturgeon spearing season saw 408 sturgeon harvested throughout the Lake Winnebago system. The upriver lakes are about 55% of the way to the harvest cap, but on Lake Winnebago, the cap is in no danger of being reached yet. The sturgeon spearing season runs through February 23rd or until the harvest cap is reached, whichever comes first. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin DNR says Haley Herzig of Fond du Lac made history over the weekend when she caught the fourth largest sturgeon ever harvested in Wisconsin. The 22-year-old is a first-time spearer and caught a 180-pound female measuring 79.3 inches long. The Wisconsin DNR is inviting residents to share their thoughts on the agency's natural resource management plans. According to a press release, the Wisconsin Conservation Congress will be accepting public input regarding statewide conservation issues through January 24th. Each resident will be allowed to submit two proposals, which will then be reviewed by a committee of delegates. Resident submissions must have an effect on the entire state, and the goals must be practical, reasonable, and achievable. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Here's a comedy to look forward to, starring a rock star duo of Bill Murray and Kristen Wiig. The two Saturday Night Live alums will headline the cast of Epiphany, which will be directed by Max Barbacow, who also directed Palm Springs. The plot sees Kristen Wiig as an heiress who has blown through her fortune and now has 2 weeks to marry a rich man or lose everything and end up homeless. She meets Murray's character, who is a math savant and billionaire. Really hoping there's no sex between the two leads in this film. As of February 14th, YouTube will be 20 years old. The social media platform, which started with people posting home movies and personal videos, has turned into a global phenomenon and a major studio that even makes feature films in 4K. According to Deadline, YouTube just reached another milestone. More people now use the TVs in their home when watching YouTube content than they do on their phones. Go figure. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory continues. Additional 1 to 3 inches possible. A cloudy sky overnight. Low of 5. For tomorrow, a clearing sky for the afternoon. Highs into the low teens. Snow chances return on Friday. Accumulations likely again.
Currently, we're at 15.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you have been working. Okay, so yep. No big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's okay. You stretch before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome 24 actor Glenn Morshauer. And joining the show all the way from Sweden, our favorite musical duo, 7,000 Apart. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-SIVA-GOT Matt Rothschild. Today, Jess P.S. working the board, and you folks on the lines. Neil from Glendale pipes up, Alvin Lee, 10 years after Woodstock, I'd love to save the world, tax the rich, feed the poor until there are no rich no more. I love that song. I think we'll get that one made for tomorrow. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. What else we got? Pete Buttigieg may very soon be announcing his candidacy for U.S. Senator from Michigan. That is my understanding. Thank you for reinforcing that as well. 855-757. Let's get a couple of the callers in. Mike from Racine, you are up. Happy days, Mike. Welcome. What do you got for us?
I was just wondering when Schimmel, he was on a radio station the other day for the Republican side. And he said it was okay that they pardoned some guys that sprayed the cops with bear spray.
Oh, yeah.
Would it be okay if I went up and started talking to him and sprayed it? They couldn't arrest me, could they?
I know, Mike. It's terrible. Number one, no, that would not be okay. We do not encourage that. I remember someone poured a beer over Speaker Voss's head one time. And while that's kind of funny. No, that's not, let's not do that stuff, man. There's a reason why that is assault, even though the pie in the face sometimes seems appropriate. We've seen the cartoons. But for a sitting judge here in the state of Wisconsin, Matt Rothschild, who wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, to endorse the full pardoning of folks that bear sprayed, tear gas beat, clawed, officers that were just doing their jobs trying to protect Republicans and Democrats in the Capitol. I think it's one of the reasons that the Marquette University Law School polling, that was one of the big negatives in that poll from this administration.
Totally disqualifying for Schimmel. He doesn't deserve to sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court when he said that those folks, those criminals, those terrorists who beat up the cops on January 6th, that it was okay for Trump to pardon them. And what I want to know is, you know, where's the Milwaukee Police Association on this? You know, did they think that was a good thing for Trump? They endorsed Trump. Are they going to endorse Schimmel now, even though Schimmel says that's a good thing too?
Yeah, that's a fabulous point there, Matt. And we've seen some of the commercials that the Schimmel campaign has put out there where he's all slow gangster walking with the sheriffs. And to Mike's point, hey, you walk up to any of those sheriffs and put some spray bear spray on them, you know, you're going to get arrested, and you should get arrested for assault. You absolutely should.
At minimum, you're going to get arrested.
Right. You're lucky you don't get shot. But that's ultimately the point. You know, you have these police organizations that, what, are all about the law and order, but then the law and order party is now the party of assault and battery.
And corruption.
The ABCs of the GOP. Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. It is. I think it is disqualifying, Matt. And I don't know how. I don't. Where is the disconnect, Matt? To me, it is absolutely not. No way. How can police officers and these police unions and those that would support, you know, the law and order types go and say, yeah, that Brett Schimmel, he's got a good beat on this. Those folks who beat the hell out of those cops, and we've seen the videos. It's not like, I mean, this was the most publicized coup in American in world history, man. Everyone were they were recording themselves. Hey, look at us. We just beat the hell out of the cops. Yeah, man. And some of those videos were used in court against them for the assault that they obviously did.
And for a judge and a former state attorney general to say that, you know, that's okay, a former DA to say that's okay, it's just outrageous. And, you know, I saw that the national group, the Fraternal Order of Police, issued a press release, you know, half condemning Donald Trump for pardoning the January 6th criminals. But, you know, they endorsed Trump, too.
Right. They endorsed him anyway, and presumably still support him. I mean, that I at what point, you know, if it's you getting attacked by the megas, then do you change your mind? Because you're probably, you know, those folks are megas themselves.
And it's not like it was a surprise. Trump campaigned calling these people, you know, political prisoners and said he was going to pardon them. So who was surprised? But, you know, why did the, you know, Milwaukee Police Association, why did the Fraternal Order of Police endorse this guy? You know, they're endorsing lawlessness against police officers. That's the irony and the paradox of the whole thing.
Yeah. Mike, do not be like Mega, man. Don't. I would highly suggest you not doing that. Do not charge the mound. Do not attack the police officers. Don't believe shysters and carnival barkers and reality TV show people either. That would also be just a little, you know, tip for the kids out there. 855-752-4842. Cam, you're from Appleton, Miles Stomping Grounds. Welcome.
One of them.
What do you got for us?
I hear those sounds in the middle of the night and realize I'm having a nightmare. Al Zadai, I am probably butchering the name, but he's the gentleman that threw the shoe at George Bush in 07.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly, I mean, his wiki entry, this is just on topic with dumping the beer on Voss.
Mm-hmm.
His wiki entry mentions how it's him doing that sparked very similar incidents of political protest around the world.
Yeah.
So, just throwing that out there. The other thing, the main reason I called in originally was that I have my own Groundhog Day for knowing if the Republicans or Trump are having a bad time. And it is like a test. I play StarCraft from 1998 still to this day. And all people need to know is just it's a game. And it has a chat in it. And usually when they're having a bad time, I see the normal people I normally see, but then I also see a lot of bots on there talking about how great Trump is on a game. I don't know why, but that's usually how it is. Nowadays, all I see is the guy that for the last year, every day he's typed into the chat how he wants to F someone's mother. That's all I see anymore. So their bots are done. I don't know where they are.
It is a weird world, Cam, and I guess when you can just make bots and have them show up on everything, online video gaming included, we're just bombarded nonstop with this trash, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But it's good to know that at least sometimes they're having a bad day, and I guess that's when, release the bots! Release the Kraken! Release the hounds! 855-752-4842. You got anything on that, man?
Well, I just think, you know, the Trump people that I know are still crowing. You know, they still think he's doing a great job. They love the first 3 weeks. And,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to take a lot of those folks a while to get over this. I see we've got some texters who want to defend Democratic billionaires like Pritzker and Mark Cuban. But, you know, what I'm wondering, or I just did a little Google search. Kamala Harris was out there campaigning with Mark Cuban several times.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was out there with Pritzker, too. How many times was she out there with Bernie? Zero. And that sent a message, a confusing message, I think, to working folks who like Bernie. There was a lot of overlap over the last couple of presidential campaigns when Bernie was in there between Bernie supporters and Trump supporters, because they both of the candidates were saying things that rang true. System's rigged. Both Bernie and Trump said that, and they had different remedies for that. but pal around with the billionaires, I don't think people who are having a hard time making rent and paying their car insurance, you know, really love the, you know, palling around with Mark Cuban. And so I think the Democrats have got to come to the realization that this billionaire, solicitation has got to end. That's not the way to go. There's a different way to go, and they need to articulate the message better of the billionaires, by the billionaires, for the billionaires, and not for you. And they need to have national figures. Bernie and AOC are doing it, but no one else seems to be doing it. Mm. National figures, you know, rise to the top and start yelling.
855-752-4842. Matt, I referred to that as the bring your billionaire to work day. Because they were Trump was palling around with Musk, I think, and I think you're right. Harris was with one of those other billionaires. It was your bring your billionaire to work day.
Yeah,
and I would And I don't know how you do this, because if you're a billionaire, you're, again, you're a hoarder and you probably got some narcissistic tendencies, but whatever. Maybe take a back seat. You know what I mean? Maybe let some other folks, some younger folks, and folks are talking about, you know, the issues that matter to on issues that if you're a billionaire, you don't quite understand anymore. Now, maybe at one time, if you weren't always rich, if you were like literally, you know, from the street to the billionaire, and I don't know how many stories like that are actually true, you know, maybe you have something to offer. But if you, whatever you did to get you that far, why you still have billions of dollars, man? You know what I mean? What are you doing with that other than making more money on the billions of dollars that you already have? Now, I'm not saying that I want a government to go and tell me how to spend my money, but we the people can certainly, through our Congress, set tax code. You know what I mean? And we need to recognize and reclaim that power. And no, it's not bad. And you can, there's lots of things you can do. You can put out a tax rate and you allow for certain loopholes, right? I mean, even the tax rates that we had back in the day, we're talking about 70, 80%. There are lots of loopholes that people get around those kinds of things. We can, as a people, and we should address that through our tax or through our Congress, through the power to tax and the power to spend. That's the point. We the people. And when people don't engage and they don't have a leadership and they're kind of wandering in the wilderness and everyone's got to bring a billionaire to work, buddy. Well, that kind of lose that messaging, Matt.
I mean, Dwight D. Eisenhower, not exactly a socialist, he had a top marginal tax rate at 91%. 91% if you got to those, you know, $100 million folks.
Yeah.
And actually didn't seem to hurt the economy. The economy was chugging along quite well in the 50s.
855.
That's why Elizabeth Warren's, you know, wealth tax, that's why it's a popular idea. It's got like 60% approval.
Keep going. I mean, and these things don't happen overnight, certainly, but to continue to talk about them. And look, these things were historical and you know, things have changed. Reagan came in and drowned the government. And, you know, you get the government that you deserve, maybe, you know, because if you don't believe in it, you don't participate in it. And I was guilty, man. You know, I vote a hell of a lot more now than I used to. But I was, in my mind, it wasn't anything I could control. But we can control it, especially if we're all on the same page and working together to influence it. That's the point. That is the point. 855-752-4842. Joe from Madison, you are next. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to comment briefly on what you were speaking of and then go to my little point here. And that is, I can't believe I'm in this situation, but here I am, which is that there are some millionaires and billionaires who are trying to do a good job. Maggie has a piece that she runs regularly where she brings the millionaires for tax justice or fair America or something like that to come in and talk about that. I mean, Warren Buffett has said, you know, the tax system is insane if my secretary is paying on a per capita basis more in taxes than I am, and, you know, has said that. Mark Cuban, you know, I'm not well versed in this guy, but I know that he has put forth some sort of pharmaceutical deal where you can it's a nonprofit that allows you to purchase pharmaceuticals at a much lower rate than you might buy it at market rate. So, I mean, yes, they've got a lot of money, but they're not all knobheads, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Whereas there is a knobhead who was in the White House and who is setting up to leave us by the side of the road. I mean, he had said, he had a posting, and this is the one that really, really bothers me. He said, and this is a quote from one of his texts that he just put out. He said, "At this point, I'm 100% certain that the magnitude of fraud in federal entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, disability, exceed the combined sum of every private scam you've ever heard of by far. It's not even close." So he says that at the top of it, his text, and then he says later on, if accurate, this is extremely suspicious. Okay? So this is a knob that we have dancing around Trump, you know, with his little MAGA hat on, you know, his kid has his finger up his nose. It's just, the look of it is just god-awful. This guy is a liar, he's nuts, and he's snorting around in people's Social Security disability. I mean, we can't have this. What is he doing there? Yep. We don't have any idea. We still don't have any idea. So I would say that there's levels of jerky billionaires, and he's way to the top, and I think what's going on has to do with Starlink. I think he's really got some fraud there that was going to be tackled by one of those inspector generals.
Yeah, and they all got waxed. Hey, Joe, we're coming up on Against the Heartbreak. Thank you for your contribution. And I get it. They're not all made the same. But when all those billionaires get behind Bernie Sanders with their money, with an effort to get money out of politics and to tax the billionaires themselves and spend their own money on that, then I'll believe it. Come back with us. Tell us something good. 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
There is no tagline more gripping than catch a perch and win a truck. This is Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and you could do exactly that during the Battle on Bago. This is the largest ice fishing tournament and family fishing event of the year, and it's on February 14th and 15th. Ladies, he could take you here for Valentine's Day. So do you think you have what it takes to compete in the battle? Give it a try. Go to WISS.FM, click events, and see if you got what it takes.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert, the
ear. Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now. 855-752-4842. You know how we do it at the end of the show. Tell us something good. End the day on a positive, happy note. And we got Matt Rothschild here. We got Jess P.S. on the board. And you folks are on the line as well. We want to hear something good. 855-75-CIVIC. We got an early innovator, Bill, from Green Bay. He's got something good. All right, Bill, share it with us. What do you got for us?
Well, you know, we've been bombarded with so much great news lately. It's been almost too much to take. There's so much greatness.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was reading on the internet because I have school loans that I've had, and they said that I should go on to the website and print off my payment history just so I have it, so I have a record of it, because you know how some of these websites are just happen to be disappearing these
All
days.
Right.
So I thought I better get in there, make some copies. So I went through there. And all of a sudden, they see that they all have a zero balance. After 21 years of paying on this, and in the very beginning, my payments were $500 a month, 11% interest, and they would call me 5 to 6 times a day. And now I don't have it. I'm practically breathless that I can't believe this. I'm so grateful.
That is fantastic news, Bill. Let me ask you, because obviously some folks get a little chippy about, you know, all these breaks for those people that took the loans and paid out of debt. But there's value to that, man. I mean, now if you're saving yourself $500 a month in loan payments, what do you do with that money now, man? How does that get spent?
Well, right. Well, obviously spend it in the economy, you know, small businesses, wherever. And it's like, and also, Dom, it's not like I haven't paid this thing 2 times over.
Right.
You know, I mean, I really have. I mean, the interest rates were so high. And if it was your traditional loan that you would get like 25 years ago, yeah, you pay that back. And absolutely, I have every intention of paying this back when I took it out. However, with the predatory lenders that happen to get a hold of me, you know, the first loans were fine. Then they gave out the second set of loans, said, hey, sign this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went ahead and signed it because I thought it'd be just like the other loans. No, 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 no.
Yeah.
I should have read the fine print because they really got me.
Yeah, Bill, lesson learned for sure. Well, congratulations, man. I assuming that it had something to do with the last administration. I don't think that there's going to be any student loan relief from the current administration.
If he gets rid of the Department of Education, then...
Okay, we never know. We'll see.
Never know.
We'll see. Something good, Bill. We appreciate that, man. Rock on. Go have a good time and spend that money locally. You know, support local businesses. All right, Matt, you are the guest of honor today. We appreciate you hanging out with us, man. You got something good for us, my man?
Yeah, I wanted to... I like ending with poetry, so... there's this tremendous poem called Let America Be America Again by Langston Hughes, who's often been called the Bard of Harlem. And I found a recital of the poem, and it's a long poem. We're just taking a bit of it, I think. Mm-hmm. Reading this poem is Minneapolis poet Dana Smith, who got his BA right here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Oh, nice.
Let America be the dream the dreamers dreamed. Let it be that great, strong land of love where never kings connive nor tyrants scheme, that any man be crushed by one above. It was never America to me. Oh, let my land be a land where liberty is crowned with no false patriotic wreath. But opportunity is real and life is free, equality in the air we breathe. There's never been equality for me, nor freedom in this homeland of the free. Say, who are you that mumbles in the dark? And who are you that draws your veil across the stars? I am the poor, white, fooled and pushed apart. I am the Negro bearing slavery scars. I am the red man driven from the land. I am the immigrant clutching the hope I seek and finding only the same old stupid plan of dog eat dog, of mighty crush the weak. From those who live like leeches on people's lives, we must take back.
Yeah, that's a great poem. That's Langston Hughes's poem, Let America Be America Again, read by Danez Smith. Happy Black History Month.
Yeah, everyone. Man, that's
is
for
a
real.
Poem that's been, it was up on my wall at both the Progressive and at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign for many, many years.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing, Matt. How about you, Jess?
Something good. Well, I got a ride into work today. That was something great. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much. And as much as, you know, it sucks to drive in the snow, it's so beautiful.
It is. It is. If you don't have to drive, you can just view the snow, look at the snow. It is, it's wintertime in Wisconsin. It's nice to see some white on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
you got something good?
I do. I had the opportunity last night, privilege to go out and have a drink with a friend of mine. And I've seen this, known this cat for a long time. And it kind of dawned on me how many relationships and friendships I've built up over the years doing the show.
Yeah.
You know, Jess, you know, here recently and Matt known you a long time and I think about and go through all the folks and people that I've met. It's just been an absolute privilege and it's so fun. And it's one of the things I love most about doing the show is meeting the folks and certainly the audience, you members, you know, as well. We go out and we have drinks together. We talk about it. It is really, really a community. And I'm just honored to be a part of it. It's been a lot of fun. So we're going to continue to do that. I'm meeting my buddy up again next week. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us. Matt Rothschild, thank you, sir. Hopefully we'll talk again real soon. Jess P.S. on the board. Let's get wrapped up and hit the road again. Go back home. You folks, be safe out there. Drive safe. Be patient. Stick around. Pete Schwabba with Nightlights coming up next. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Eve Galanter will be our guest as she talks about civics and civility and what we're teaching our high school kids and how you can get involved. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Mino and the Mayor.
Well, I think everybody's been there because he was sitting there for the longest time. So I just gave him a little beep and it was green.
Yeah.
I could see he was vaping. It was meant on his vaping thing. And then all of a sudden he rolls his window and gives me the bird. So I'm trying to get his attention. I can see that I'm giving him the finger too, but I couldn't get my window down.
And you wanted to make sure he could see it.
I was waving to him like, hey. Yeah, exactly.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The U.S. Justice Department announcing legal action against New York State's governor, attorney general, and head of the Department of Motor Vehicles over New York's sanctuary city laws, which limit and forbid local, state, and local law, state law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement.
New York has chosen to prioritize illegal aliens over American citizens. It stops today.
Bondi says other sanctuary states are next. At the White House today, President Trump talking about two phone calls aimed at negotiating an end to the war in Ukraine, one with President Putin and the other with Ukraine's President Zelensky. Trump says he agrees with Putin's position that Ukraine will not get Crimea back from Russia and will not be allowed to join NATO. The prisoner swap that saw Russia's release Tuesday of American schoolteacher Mark Fogel today saw Russian crypto criminal Alexander Vinnik released by the United States. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale.